If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, since it's Tom's birthday, what if I said to him, Hey, Tom, I've decided I'm going to give you a great birthday gift this year. In fact, it's this. I'm leaving. In fact, I'm moving my family to Vista, California, because some distant relative of mine gave me a house down there. I've been abused by the Pacific Northwest weather long enough, so I'm finally pulling the trigger to make San Diego County my home. But here's the deal. Take heart in this, because even though I'm leaving, I'm sending Pastor Ray Ortland in my place to help you. In fact, he's decided to come take the place at Imprint Woodinville, and he is going to help lead the church in the future. Now, we're big fans of Ray around here, if you didn't know that. And trust me, if I left and Ray took my place, it might be a difficult 2 weeks, but he would soon forget me. I promise you that. You know, that's an upgrade, to be honest with you. You might say the same for Alistair Begg. In his own mind, I think Tom thinks that he is one of the better preachers out there as well. So it might be an upgrade if he came and took my place as well. Now, I say this all because it's actually what happened in our reading of John's gospel today. Jesus is leaving, but he's sending the Spirit in his place, who will strangely be an upgrade for the disciples and for all followers of Christ for all time. And even though this is probably a somber moment for the disciples, these are some beautiful verses if we really grasp what they mean. And they become some of the most helpful for us as well. Why? Because the disciples are doing the most human and relatable thing ever. They are being fearful and troubled over their changing circumstances that they found themselves in at this moment. And Jesus says right in the middle of the passage today in John 14:27, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now think with me for a minute. Have you ever felt a really strong emotion and then someone tells you not to feel that emotion? For example, have you ever been in an argument with your spouse and they looked to you and said, would you just calm down? Did you just calm down? Let me ask you that. It worked, didn't it? Now, it probably did for you because you're more mature than I am, but I don't find that to be helpful very often. Or maybe you're like me and you enjoy the show Parks and Recreation, and you're drawn to the character of Ron Swanson. This man is famous for saying to someone who is crying in front of him, quote, crying is acceptable at funerals and the Grand Canyon. Keep your tears in your eyes where they belong, right? Don't cry. Don't have that emotion. Both of these examples are not going to get you past the ability to calm down or stop feeling what you feel. Friends, this isn't rocket science, but in order for us as people to stop having an emotion, there has to be an opposite reason or an opposite emotion that supersedes that first one. So as I approached this passage this week, and as I read it, and I heard Jesus' comments to the disciples to stop being troubled and afraid, I asked myself, how could they do this? They were about to lose their friend, their Lord, their teacher to death. He was being clear about that was going to happen to him. And this had to have been sad to him. But in this passage, the Lord Jesus is not just telling them to not feel sad or afraid, but to have a pretty compelling reason that you can feel the exact opposite because of the gift of the Spirit that he is going to send when he does leave. And in this moment, when all hope thought it was lost, Jesus gives his followers a great promise. And that promise is that I just mentioned, the Holy Spirit will come to them. Now, they didn't understand it then, and it takes some time for them to fully grasp what this means. But he gives some hints in this passage for the disciples to understand that we can understand today as well. And here's the amazing truth that I want you to hold on to this week and going forward. It's this. If we truly grasp the Holy Spirit's ministry to us, we will find calm confidence to live out the call of Christ in the broken and troubled world that we live in. Did you catch that? If we truly grasp the Holy Spirit's ministry to us, we will find a calm confidence to live out the call of Christ in a broken and troubled world. It can actually change our thoughts, our feelings, and emotions in a beautiful way. However, just as the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying right now, likewise, I fear we don't understand this promise either. Why? For the most part, I think most of us have developed a self-sufficiency in our lives and in our churches, so we don't really feel like we need the Spirit of God working in our lives. Man, I heard Francis Chan ask a room full of ministry leaders a few years ago a question that has haunted me in a good way since that day. He said this, "What would your life look like if you were not filled with the Spirit of God each and every day?" And he paused and he said, "And if your answer is not much different than it looks today or every day, aren't you missing something amazing of the promise of God that Jesus promises to his disciples of Christ going forward for all time?" Man, that question haunts me. Doesn't it haunt you as well? How would my life look different today as if the Spirit of God was leading me each and every day? I would venture to guess that many of us somewhat lack real power in life, especially as we feel equipped to go out and lead in the mission of God and to glorify him in all our lives. But Jesus would long for us to have the Spirit empower us, to be reminded that if we're followers of Jesus, he is with us. So church, friends, we, like a boat on the Puget Sound, should open our sails to the wind of the Holy Spirit and allow it to be a gift of God to us, to empower our lives for something different. Now, before we go too much further, let me acknowledge that there is so much confusion in the church about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, isn't there? We can acknowledge that. Some of us associate the Spirit of God with bizarre fringe groups who do all kinds of crazy things in the name of the Holy Spirit. Others believe the Spirit of God is some kind of feeling, as if we could conjure up him with the right set of songs or fog or hazer lights in a worship experience. But the best place to know and have confidence in what the Spirit of God does and who he is by looking at the Scripture. And I love how Jesus gives us some specific things about the Spirit of God today that we can find hope in. And here they are. Think about this. The Holy Spirit's ministry will be so helpful for us to live out the call of Christ. We also see that the Holy Spirit will help us have confidence in Christ. And finally, we see that the Holy Spirit will help us have the comfort of Christ. All these C's are from my friend Tom, who loves alliteration, and it's his birthday after all. So we have to look at these, the C's of the Holy Spirit. The first one is this, the call of Christ. Jesus' first words in John 14:15 are, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Once again, we see in John this idea that to love Jesus is to keep the things that he says. But here's the incredible part that the gift of the Spirit does for us. Right after this, in verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Now, why is this important? Because the Holy Spirit actually empowers us to live out the call of Christ to love him and keep his commandments. Do you understand that? That's so important. Like, you can't do it on your own. There's nothing you can conjure up within you to always fully keep the commandments of the Lord. But the Bible tells us, and Jesus tells us, that he gives us the gift of the Spirit as a helper to empower us to live out the call of Jesus Christ. That we become people that grow in natural obedience to Jesus Christ. He helps us do that. Suddenly we find that we start to want to do things to please the Lord without a worry about what it costs you, what you're giving up, or how much you're leaving behind, because you love him more each day. I liken this to the classic example of a teenage boy when he first notices that girls are not actually aliens or disgusting, and he becomes interested in the way they walk, talk, and look. Most teenage boys remember that moment in their lives. Now those teenage boys decide to do things like shower, buy and wear different clothing, maybe clean up their car a little bit, get a job to impress said girl. Why? Because he has a new love. So he starts valuing new things and doing new things for that love. When a person loves Jesus, you don't have to tell them to do certain things to be a better Christian. They just want to. How do they want to? The Bible says because of the Holy Spirit's empowerment to help us love Jesus more and keep his words. That's the Spirit. That's a gift of the Spirit that we can each have. Moreover, Jesus says here, if you love me, is what he says. And order matters, friends. It's not an active conditional statement. Jesus doesn't say, if you keep my commands, then I know you'll love me, or keep my commandments and I'll love you. He is declaring what actions flow out of what is already true. It is describing the nature of our relationship, not the condition of it, is what he's saying. God has loved us, does love us, and we respond as love people with love for God and his word. We love because he first loved us. This also tells us the commandments are for those who have been changed by the grace of God. For those of you that are trying to live a moral life without being transformed by the Spirit of God, you will fall on your face. But if you have the Spirit of God helping you, it empowers you to live differently. Did you see in this passage that Tom McGregor read that the word love, agapao, is used 10 times in this passage? Besides verse 15, which we just read, in verse 21, Jesus says it another way. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We'll come back in a few minutes to this verse, by the way. Look at verse 23, where Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him there. Also in verse 24, Jesus says this in a negative way, where he says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The call of Christ, friends, is to love him by keeping his commandments. Now, if you're like me, you might ask the question, now what in the world are Jesus' commandments? There's a whole lot in there, and I wonder what these are. We should not understand these as a list of moral rules like the Ten Commandments, all right? In fact, the parallel of John 14, 15 and is John 14, 23, where Jesus says, keep my word. In other words, the commandments encompass all of Jesus' words and all of his teachings. Furthermore, in verse 24, Jesus says, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So it's the entirety of what God has said through the word of God and through the person and work of Jesus. So broadly, I would say this is about our attitude towards all the Bible's teachings as revealed through Christ. In the context of this passage, we've even just heard Jesus' new command, haven't we? Just a couple weeks ago, that command to love one another. So if you love Jesus this morning, the question I have for you is this. Have you started to love other people better as a result of being transformed by the grace of God? Is the Spirit of God working that into your life to love people who are unlovable? How challenging is this in the context of family during COVID-19? To love one another. But here's the good news. The helper is giving us the power to live out that call of Christ towards one another. We're getting a chance as a church right now to do that, to love one another who have differing views than us. How does that look to love one another well and to be helped by the Holy Spirit to do it? Because it's hard to conjure up within ourselves. So just ask yourself the question, am I being empowered by the Spirit? Do I see myself as more loving or less loving than I was a day ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago? Do you see your life being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? And if not, ask the Lord to fill you with this Spirit so that you might be helped in that. Several years ago, Gary Chapman wrote a groundbreaking book called The Five Love Languages. Some of you have probably read this. The premise of the book is simple. Different people with different personalities express love in different ways. Gary called these ways of expressing and receiving love the five love languages. They are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. You can tell your family right now what yours are. It will help you in this time of COVID-19 as they know how to show love for you. For example, each individual usually has one to two of these that show them that they are loved when another person displays that type of love for them. So because everyone has like one or two primary ways, if you're showing a person a type of love that is not in their love language, they may not feel loved in the way you intend them to feel loved. For example, I can do acts of service for my son, Zachary, all the time. And he will look at me and be like, thanks, Dad, that's what dads do, and shrug his shoulders. Because his love language is physical touch and words of affirmation. Mine's acts of service and probably words of affirmation as well. But if I try to speak in my love language to him, he doesn't quite understand it as well as I want to express it. Now, there may be lots of ways to relate to Jesus and relate to God in ways that we cannot see like this, but I deeply appreciate that Jesus has already told us the way we are to love him. Acts of service is what Jesus wants us to love him. The, if you love me, you will follow my commands. These are the things that he wants us to do, and you can be empowered by it, by the Holy Spirit. That's why, thankfully, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in his name, will teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that he has said to us. That's John 14:26. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the calling of Christ, to love him and to keep his commandments. Well, that leads us to the next C, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit not only helps us live out the calling of Christ, but helps us have confidence in Christ as well. Jesus says in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Jesus knows the disciples will be tempted to feel abandoned when he leaves, so he promises not to leave them. And not only that, he promises to come to us. We always talk about having these come to Jesus moments, which probably have some benefit as we think about those. But you need to know this, that Jesus has come to you through the Holy Spirit. That's the great hope of the promise of the Holy Spirit, is the Lord has come to us. Did you notice in this passage that Jesus as the Father will give you, quote, another helper? What a great way to think about it. Now this is a strange way to think about it because we don't like the word helper because we think of it as a less than word or role. But it's actually a role of honor. The word is parakletos, and it's used only by John. I don't know if you knew that. You can see it in several places in John, in 1 John chapter 2. And it's also translated, depending on your translation of your Bible, as counselor, comforter, advocate, or as one who comes alongside. Why? Because there is not a single English word that conveys the range of meaning that this Greek word parakletos actually means. Comforter is good when we think of our need for Christ, as long as we don't just think of him as our own personal genie in a bottle. Helper works so long as we understand that helper is an empowerment and does not mean some kind of a subordinate role. Counselor is good, but we must not think of him as just another advisor in our lives and we could take his advice or leave it. An advocate is good as long as we don't just think of him in terms of only being our spokesperson for the agenda that we have. So which is it? I would ask you, what if it's a mixture of all these ideas? Because all of us needs all of the Spirit of God in our lives. The Spirit empowers us for the purpose that he's created us for. Through him, we experience the presence of God each and every day. Through him, we have constant counsel and guidance. The Holy Spirit is our constant teacher to remind us of Jesus' words to live out our faith in a broken and confusing world. Another important word here is that word another. The Greek word is allos, meaning another of the same kind, not heteros, which means another of a different kind. The difference is saying, I want another piece of pizza, not instead of saying, I want lasagna instead of pizza. Both might be Italian, if you will, but you're talking about the same thing here. In other words, one just like him, one of the same divine essence. This is the third person of the Trinity. The New Testament even calls the Spirit of Christ in Romans chapter 8. In other words, Jesus tells us the presence and work of the Holy Spirit going forward would be like having the Father and Son present with them forever. Can you imagine that? That's the promise. The confidence that we get is that we have the Father with us. We have Jesus with us through the person and work of the Spirit. The point is this, that we can have confidence in life because the Holy Spirit will comfort, teach, encourage, help, advocate, counsel, just as Jesus, as the representative of the Father, has been to the disciples all along. Jesus was the helper of these guys in times of trouble, and now another helper is coming, in fact, a better one. Remember how I told you at the beginning that if I told Tom I was leaving, it would be hard for about a week or so, but I was sending someone else even better in my place so you'd get over it fairly quickly? Now, I understand all illustrations break down, especially because this makes me Jesus in that illustration, which really breaks it down. But this one doesn't break down here, because I have to skip forward a bit to Jesus' words in John 16:7, where it's amazing to hear him say the words, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Wait, advantage? Like, I can't imagine more advantage than having Jesus live and in person in front of me. It's remarkable that Jesus would say this to the disciples. They had Jesus beside them. They'd watched him live a life of perfection before all of the broken world. They'd watched him teach. They'd seen all of these things. And Jesus says, "It's better that I go away. I'm sending so much better in someone in my place. And it's going to be the Spirit in you." This is the confidence you can have if you are a follower of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. That's the promise that we have. You can never be unfollowed or unfriended or canceled by the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that good news? That's good news to me. I mean, this news that Jesus is giving keeps getting better and better. Pastor Tom reminded us last week that from the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had promised to make them a home in heaven. Now Jesus is saying, "Let not your heart be troubled, because I am making a place within you." In fact, the same word there in Greek translated place in verse 2 for home and verse 23 here in place is the same word. Jesus is preparing a dwelling place for us, but he also, get it, dwells within us. His home is within us. Think of the confidence this brings to us as believers. The Spirit of God makes his home within you and me. And it would be a huge miss if I didn't go back to Ezekiel the prophet to remind us of what is happening on a larger narrative of the scripture. This promise that came hundreds of years before Jesus ever stepped foot on the earth, where Ezekiel said through a prophetic utterance that "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Do you see the echoes of what Jesus is saying here, even starting now in John chapter 14? Unlike the requirements of the Mosaic law that are written in stone, God writes the requirements of the covenant of grace upon our hearts of his people. You can read about this in Jeremiah 31 as well, transforming us to live according to what God requires. The moral requirements have not varied, but the motivation to obey and the power to obey are entirely different now because of the Spirit. Now we are living lives that are empowered by the Spirit of God. This is why I think Paul can say with confidence in Galatians chapter 5, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We need the Spirit, and that's the point. It brings confidence to our walk with Christ. Finally, this morning, this brings us to one more huge gift that we have with the giving of the Spirit, and that's the comfort of Christ, the final C in our message this morning. Marinate on this word: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you," in John 14:27. Peace. And modern people love the idea of peace, don't they? But it's usually a therapeutic feeling of peace. The peace that Christ gives is different than stretching exercises or deep breathing activities or the smell of essential oils or calm walks beside creeks or a peaceful bike ride through the woods. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Christian peace is rooted in something else. It's rooted in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and now empowered by the Spirit of God. Jesus has provided peace with God through his death on the cross, which is an amazing thing for us to hold to. And now this power of the Spirit will help us experience the peace of God each and every day of our lives. And this can bring comfort. as I've heard it said before, why would the Holy Spirit be called a comforter if at times in our life we didn't need to be comforted? The disciples are going to have to confront a hostile world very soon here. We'll see this again in John 15 and 16, but the promise of peace begins to be fulfilled as soon as John 20, where right after Jesus is resurrected, he shows up to them, and check this out, the first thing he does for them and says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, which I know is a little weird, but then he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Did you catch that? The connection of peace and what Jesus gifts them as soon as he resurrects from the dead is this comfort and peace. You receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus and trust in him for your hope and your salvation. Now, friends, there's a curious thing at the close of this chapter here. If you read down, you heard the final thing. It's the little phrase from Jesus where he says, "Arise and let us go from here," in John 14, 31. The problem is they don't rise and they don't go anywhere until the first part of chapter 18. It's given rise to all kinds of speculations about what's actually going on here. But actually what's curious to me is that the word Jesus uses here is a military word. It's not so much the idea of let's get up and let's get moving. That's not the idea. It's a word of command to respond to a calling, the confidence and the comfort the Spirit has offered through Jesus right then. In other words, he's telling the disciples to prepare yourself right now. They need to wrap themselves in the promises of Jesus. They need to be assured that the King of Kings is with them now. And even though he is going away, he is coming to them again by the power of the Spirit, and he will be with them forever. So here's my final word to you this morning, Imprint Church. Rise up in the power of the Spirit and let's go. My son likes to say that. Let's go. I think it's a common thing in our culture right now. I've heard it said over and over again. What if that's what Jesus is saying right here? Let's go, church. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's walk out in confidence. Let's walk out the calling that Jesus has for us. And let's have the comfort that we need when we need it. Because that's the gift of the Spirit for us. Just as Jesus has left the Spirit to help the disciples, we can be assured that the Spirit has been left to help us as well. So what are you struggling with this morning? What sin is breaking your life? What do you need to turn over to Jesus Christ? What do you need to rely on the Spirit of God to help you in? Where do you need comfort, confidence, and the ability to live out Christ's call and to keep his commandments? The Spirit can be given to yours in abundance, friends. And if you believe in him, I believe that you will find life in his name. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time to look at your word. And I understand, Lord, that it is a unique thing to think about the Spirit of God, which is a topic that has created a lot of tension in our lives throughout the years, because not everyone knows what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And there are different interpretations of that as well. But I would pray that right now that you would help us all to take this comfort, this calling, this confidence in the Word of God, and apply that to our lives and rise up in the power of the Spirit and go forward in his name. That we would proclaim the hope of the gospel and how we've been set free from sin and death to others around us. That we'd be willing to be comforted when life is broken and we can't figure out what to do next. That we'd have confidence in the fact that God is with us in all things, Lord. So Lord, help us in that today. Help us to find hope. And if there are people who are listening today that do not have this hope, I pray that you would help them to want to have this hope. And that they would respond to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And when they respond to him in faith and repentance, that you would give the gift of the Spirit to them. Lord, I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for this gift that we can hope for and find life in the name of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.